They say that great minds think alike.
Well, this was proven last Sunday morning when Neil was speaking. He used the exact opening illustration as I had already decided to use. I was not impressed. And actually wondered whether my laptop had been hacked. Not that he would find too much on there worth worrying about. It was in a reference to a certain obscure 1960s television programme called That Was the Week That Was. It only lasted for just over a year, surprisingly. And it was a very tongue-in-cheek look at the week's news, with several presenters discussing the issues from a very cynical and humorous point of view, lampooning politicians as well-known, other well-known people. And as we start this year, we may well look back to 2020 and say, that was the year that was. And hope that we don't have to say the same thing this time next year, but who knows. But anyway, this morning there will be no mention of the C word. No mention will be made of Christmas presents, no mention of crackers, cakes, Christmas trees, Christmas puddings, carols, or even kings, if we want to misspell that to get them in there. Last year was a vastly different year from in the whole world that we've been used to. And things may not change too much in the coming year from what we read in the news. And in many ways, we cannot see what the immediate future holds. Last year, we looked forward to the year before to the last year and thought, well, we had things in plan. We knew where we were going. But none of that came about. And if we'd been told that we'd have seen the whole world in chaos, we would have thought it a pretty ridiculous idea, not being able to visit family and friends and things like that. But here we are. And we cannot see the immediate future of how world events will affect us in the coming year. But we can see into the future from the perspective of God and his word that he has given to us. The book of Revelation, and we read the opening few verses in there, gives us a glimpse, albeit in a very dramatic and image-driven way, into the future. But don't worry, I'm not going to delve into the imagery and the picturesque language of this book this morning, though we do need to read it and to try and grasp its message. It is the only book in the Bible where there is actually a blessing promised for those who do read it and seek to understand it. Many years ago, I heard the simplest explanation of this sadly neglected book. When someone was trying to grasp its message, they were simply told, Jesus will win in the end. And that's that book of Revelation. Jesus is going to win in the end, and nothing can ever stop that from happening. And that is the message that we must take from this book, and indeed from all of God's word. And it may appear outwardly that God has lost control of events. The world is in utter chaos everywhere. But he is working out his purposes despite the world's rejection of him and his claims as our great creator. We're living in this time of chaos, and no one can ever look at the daily news, read the papers, and conclude that all is well in our world. All around the world, we see chaos. There is not a continent where there's so much turmoil in so many different ways. But what is God saying to us in our world? I think this is the way we've got to try and approach this. If we believe that God is indeed the sovereign of the whole universe, and I trust that we do believe that, then we must accept, as hard as it is, that the events of the last year were all under his control and plan. God knows all that's going on. Every event in our world is under the control of God, and we cannot get away from that, even if we cannot understand it. We may have been taken by surprise by all that has happened in the history of our world in recent times, but God wasn't. God is the Lord of all time and history and knows the end from the beginning. There are certain dodgy theologies around that seem to imply that God doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I've almost heard it said that he sort of has to wake up in a sense and look at the world and see what's happening, as if somehow he didn't know what was going on. But that simply is nonsense. As we look at the scriptures and see what it teaches us about God, nothing is outside of his control, and there's nothing that he does not know. The world and its leaders are running around like headless chickens trying to resolve this dilemma that we face. But all that they're doing is in their own strength and thoughts without any reference to the God of the universe. And the bigger tragedy is that most of the mainline denominations are ignoring him as well. Sadly, we wait for our leaders of the established churches to make some pronouncement about these things, but they stay totally silent. And it's tragic, really, but there we are. But God is not to be mocked. He is in charge and knows exactly what is happening now and what will happen in the future. There are many gurus, groups, and others telling us how to change our lives from the better. And you see the adverts that come up on Facebook and other things like that to join certain groups so that they will help you survive. They also can offer all sorts of different programs, diets, exercises, self-help programs to help us to live life on planet Earth and to get to the end of it, roughly in one piece. But not one of them deals with our deepest need. What happens after this life has ended? What then? If we want to move from the chaos of our world to peace in Christ, then we are the ones that must change. God is the unchangeable one. We are told that in this coming year, school exams may be marked at a lower pass rate because of the lack of teaching that their pupils have had, and that they're never really going to be able to catch up again with their lessons and get on top of things. So the bar for a pass may be reduced. To take into account that may be fine for students and take into account all the issues that they've had and still are having to face as our education system struggles to cope with and delivering the curriculum, the shutdown of schools, and we're here now that we're not sure what's going to happen, whether they will or will not open. We're waiting to see. Their pass level can fluctuate to meet the current situation. But the pass level to enter the kingdom of God never changes. God's righteous demands never change, and they demand absolute perfection and righteousness. His standards never change or vary, quite simply because he never changes in his righteous demands. He cannot say that because we have gone through difficult times, he will lower his standards from absolute perfection to allow people into heaven. It's not like that. In Malachi 3:16 we read, "I, the Lord, do not change, so you descendants of Jacob are not destroyed." Jacob is a reference here to the nation of Israel, as they were in rebellion against God. And they are not destroyed because God has promised them things, and God will keep his word. He will not change. And while this may give us encouragement, it also gives us a great problem. If God is a great unchangeable one, if God and his standards will never change, then it is us that need to be changed. If we had to move from the chaos of our own self-centered lives that we lived and have lived, and to have peace in Christ, then we must change. We need to be changed. God wants us to have his peace. In John 14:7, as the disciples came to that time of Jesus having to leave them, he says, "My peace I give to you." He wants them to have this peace through change. And it's a change that we cannot bring about by ourselves. And as I said, the self-help groups have nothing to offer in making that change. We can take precautions against catching an unnamed disease, which we all know about, but there's nothing that we can do to gain the change in our lives that we need in order to enter into the kingdom of God and into the presence of a great and a holy God. Only he can bring about that change. So what is the answer to all the chaos that we see in the world today? Peter writes in his first epistles, in chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, "For all the people are like grass, and all their glory are like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fail, but the word of the Lord endures forever." And this is the word that was preached to you. Peter, of course, here is quoting back into Isaiah chapter 40. God's word has been preached to the people Peter was writing to, and they had responded to that message, the enduring word of God that never changes. We have no answers to the problems we face. Only God can provide that answer. And he has done so in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sent him into the world to reveal God to the world and to pay the price for our sin and failure. He went to the cross, and there he took upon himself the sin of the whole world. And this is a message that God has for this world. Even though the world is in such rebellion against him, God still is seeking to draw people to himself. And the change that the world needs, the change that we need constantly in our lives, not just a one-off thing in coming to Christ in the first place, is to repent, to turn our lives around and to turn to Christ and to receive the salvation that God offers to us. God wants that for all of our lives. He has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for the sins of the world, and yet the world still rejects him. And that's tragic. And we need to perhaps be more active, as we try to do in evangelism, in reaching out to the world, reaching out here in Great Harwood or where you live. How do we continue to trust God during this time of extreme disruption to our daily lives, and the fact that so many people have lost their lives in the past 12 months around the whole world? As we enter a new year with all its worldwide problems, how are we to respond, particularly as God's people? The only way that we can have peace and know security in our modern world is by trusting in our great God, who is the Lord of the universe, the one who controls all history, and one day will return to this earth to establish his kingdom of peace and righteousness. And he will do that one day. And it may be a lot sooner than we think. If this pandemic has taught us anything, then it must surely be how little we are in control of things. We think we're so clever at times, don't we? We've got all our science, we've got all our technology and everything else, and we can do anything we want. And then a whole year shows us that we can't. The nations are always playing catch-up to the events in the world, but our God is the one who is totally in control of all time and all history. And our closing song is one that points to the great majesty of God, that when everything else fails, our God will stand. Amen.